Last night, I said it was good to be here, and I meant that. Tonight, we're thankful to be here. Thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to meet with you. We're thankful for all that goes into services like this. We're thankful for your care for us and your watch care. We're thankful for your being here tonight. Amen. We're thankful God has brought us together and pray that He'd be glorified and honored in all that is said and done. I have so many memories, so many snapshots in my mind regarding Traverse City and the church here. My wife figured it out for me and told me it was 1984, I think it was, when I pastored here. And that's longer than some of y'all have been on on planet Earth. Seems like it a long time ago. I can remember being here as a boy, my parents bringing us up here to see Brother Colley and visit Brother Colley. I remember being in the building on Garfield, and I can remember being in the building there on Webster, and I can remember being in the building when you had that spell of services in Frankfurt. I think that's why you were building work, wasn't it? Something like that. We have many memories of being with you in recent times. We just thank the Lord for His blessings upon Faith Missionary Baptist Church. We're so thankful He has preserved you a body, and pray that He will till Jesus comes. And I don't think that's very long ago, away from here tonight. I believe Jesus Christ is coming again. I believe, really do believe it's imminent. I hope you're ready. Because when Jesus Christ comes, He's coming for His people. Everybody else is going to be left. Everybody else is going to have to enter into that tribulation period. And I hope you're not among those that might be left if Jesus came tonight. I asked you last night, and I'll ask again, put out of your mind all the cares and the problems and the toils of the day, and put out of your mind everybody else that is here. But if you're here tonight and you're lost, just focus in on the fact you need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ. Not more than only until you know Christ. Everything else is foolishness. It will pass away. Focus and put all your prejudices and preconceived ideas aside and just focus on your need of a Savior. May God be pleased to save you during the course of these services, and may God's people likewise focus on who we are and what we are in Christ, and really evaluate where we stand in relationship to Jesus Christ. We're going to turn to the book of Mark tonight. I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight. I didn't spend a lot of time last night. I hope not to spend a lot of time tomorrow and Sunday saying anything. I didn't come here to say something. I came here to preach. We want to hasten along each service and get right into the Word. Amen. We'll say only what the Lord would allow us to otherwise. The book of Mark, chapter 3. verse 1 through 5. I may have said the wrong chapter there a minute ago. It's Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And he is Jesus. And he entered again into the synagogue. There was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him. Rather, he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. But when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. It's interesting, we find in this passage of Scripture, Jesus got angry. Most would say Jesus never got angry. Most believe in a Jesus who never got angry, or most believe in a God who doesn't get angry. But it plainly tells us there in verse number 5, he was grieved. He was grieved and he got angry. And he went ahead and, I know this isn't true and probably not the best way to put it, but he went ahead and healed this man despite them. Just to make the point that he wasn't real pleased with what was going on there. And I want you to notice in verse number 2. First of all, they watched him. They watched Jesus. Jesus was always being watched. His enemies, his foes, as well as disciples and people who needed something from him, they were constantly watching Jesus Christ. You go back to chapter 2 of Mark here. Mark chapter 2. Verse 6 and 7, regards to the man of Paul, with palsy, says in verse 6, But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? See, they were watching him. They were watching him when the man of the palsy entered the story. Over there in verse number 16 of chapter 2. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? In chapter 2, verse 23 and 24, And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Over in the book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Just another example in verse number 1. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him. They watched him. They were constantly watching Jesus Christ. But back in our text in that second verse, I want you to notice a second thing in verse number 2. First of all, they watched him. Then the second thing I want you to notice in verse 2 of our text is why they watched him. They wanted to see what he was going to do. They wanted to see what he was going to do next. Verse number 2 makes that very plain. They watched him, rather he would heal him on the Sabbath day or not. They wanted to see what Jesus was going to do. But then, the last part of verse number 2 of chapter 3, Mark, there's a third thing. They watched him. They watched him to see what he was going to do. The reason they watched him and the reason they wanted to see what he was going to do is because they were looking for something to accuse him with. They were looking for something to charge him with. In verse number 6, it says, "And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 53 and 54. "And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him." Chapter 20 of Luke. Luke 20, verse number 20. "And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them." We notice in our text these three things. They watched Jesus to see what Jesus was going to do because they wanted to accuse Jesus. They wanted to find something wrong with what he would do. They did that constantly with Christ. That was a part of normal operations during the time of Christ. They were constantly watching him, trying to catch him, doing something that they could hold against him, that they could charge him with, that they could accuse him of. From the very beginning, they watched him to see what he was going to do, that they might accuse him. That was how Christ was treated when he was on this earth. That's the example of Christ. Well, the title of our message this evening is "A Christian, A Christian." I preached out at Flat Rock a little while ago, a few weeks ago, and I think I titled my message, "I Am a Christian." The title of tonight's message is simply "A Christian." Do not confuse the two. If you were in Flat Rock, this is a totally different message, just a similar title. But if they watched Christ to see what he was going to do, that they might use it against him, if they did that to Christ, then they're going to do that to every Christian. And a Christian is somebody that is always being watched. A Christian is somebody who they're constantly seeing what they're going to do. A Christian is somebody who they're always trying to find something against that they might charge. If you're here and you name the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say you're a born-again child of God, and the world knows you're a Christian, and you've made known the fact that you're a Christian, I guarantee you that they did these things to Christ and they're going to do these things to you. That's what a Christian is all about. A Christian is always being watched. A Christian is always being looked to see what you're going to do. And they're always looking for something to hold against you. If that's not true of your Christianity, if that's not true of your life, then there's something wrong. Maybe the world doesn't know you're a Christian. Maybe you're a secret disciple. I guarantee you, if the world around you and the people you work with, the people of your community and the people of your family, if they know you're a Christian, they're going to do to you what they did to Christ. They're going to watch you. They're going to want to see what you're going to do next. And they're looking for something to hold against you. A Christian is one who's always being watched. That's just what being a Christian is all about. And I want to ask you tonight, what does the world around you, who do the people that you work with or maybe are in your family that aren't Christians, who do they see when they watch you? They watch Christ. If you're a true child of God, a true Christian, they're going to watch you. What do they see? You're a witness. You're a testimony of Jesus Christ. What does the world see when they watch you? Have you ever even considered that? Have you ever even pondered the depths of that thought? I'm a Christian, therefore I'm being watched. People, wow, that make me nervous. Well, it ought to make you nervous. Mm-hmm. We have a high calling in the representation of Jesus Christ. It's a high privilege to have the name of Jesus Christ attached to us as our Lord and Savior. It ought to make us nervous to remember and think about the fact we're being watched. We're being watched. What are you testifying to as the world watches you? Look in the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37. Verse 30 through 34. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hands, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. The wicked watches the righteous. That's what they did to Christ. Everything you do, they're watching. They know you're a Christian. They know you go to church. They know most of the time what church you go to. Most people are going to know that you're a member of Faith Missionary Baptist Church of Traverse City, Michigan. And because they know that, and because you have that name placed upon you, and because you have the name of Jesus Christ attached to you, they're watching you. They're watching you. They're watching me. We need to take that serious. Because they're watching us for the same reason they watch Jesus Christ. They're watching us to see what we're going to do. They're watching us to see how we're going to react. They're watching us to see how we're going to respond to this situation or that situation. They're going to say things and they're going to try to provoke you and they're going to try to accuse you because they want to see what you're going to do. You're being watched. And they're watching you to see what you're going to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 21 through 23. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks at all questionable, stay away from it. Don't walk that line. Stay as far away from anything sinful looking or controversial looking as you can. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If you'll prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, and you'll abstain from all appearance of evil, verse 23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, will sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're being watched. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you're being watched. And they're watching to see what you're going to do. Just like they watched Christ to see what he would do. And they're watching you for the same reason they watch Jesus Christ to see what you're going to do, because they're looking for something. They're looking for something to hold against you. They're looking for something that they can say, aha, you're a Christian and you did that? You're a Christian and you went there? You're a Christian and you said this? You're a Christian and you reacted this way? They did that to Jesus Christ. And they do that to everybody who names Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They do that to everybody here who names Christ. They do that to every member of Faith Missionary Baptist Church. They're watching you. They're looking to see what you're going to do, how you're going to react, because they want to find something to say an aha moment in charge against us. Let's go back into the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. You know the storyline well. I'm sure you know the passages of Scripture well from Daniel. We'll just try to condense our reading down for the purpose of the message. In Daniel chapter 6, let's read verse 1 through 5. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was found within him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. The king liked Daniel. One of the reasons the king like Daniel was because an excellent spirit was found in him. There was something different about Daniel from others. A good spirit. Verse 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. They were jealous concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. The king liked Daniel because Daniel had an excellent spirit. So Daniel was exalted and raised up above his peers. His peers didn't like that. And they're watching him. And they're watching him. And they decided in verse number 5, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Not only was Daniel found to have an excellent spirit that distinguished him, but he was known as a child of God. He was known as one who prayed to the Jehovah God of Israel. He was known as one who believed in Jehovah God of Israel. And so they're watching Daniel. And they come to this conclusion, the only way we're going to trip him up, if we can make his convictions, if we can make his the commandments of God somehow to conflict with those of man, if we can get him in the crosshairs there and trip him up, we'll get him. So they're watching him. They're looking for something to accuse him of. They did that to Daniel just like they did Christ. And you know how the story unfolds. They put the test, they put the temptation before him. Daniel does what he's always done. He goes into the upper room facing towards Jerusalem to pray. Not just to pray. I think if you really look at the passage of Scripture that we're looking at, he went to pray, he went to worship. He went to praise his God. He went to pray, he went to worship, he went to praise his God as he had always done. And he's being watched. They're watching him to see what he was going to do. They're watching him to see what he's going to do in hopes of catching him in their trap. And that's what they find. That's exactly what they find. This man with whom there was an excellent spirit, this man with whom was found faith and belief in God and prayer faithfully to God and worship faithfully to God, was found in conflict to man's laws, the laws that the king had passed down. And you read there in verse number 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Notice the next part of this verse. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, the king, who was a part of this ploy, who had made the decrees, who liked Daniel and found himself in a situation where he had to sentence Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. This king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. What a mouthful.
Amen.
I don't think he's just being polite. I don't think he's just trying to encourage Daniel as he was about to become lion's food. But he had seen something in Daniel. He had witnessed something in Daniel. He had seen the faithfulness of Daniel. He had seen Daniel's faithfulness to his God. And he had the confidence that the God that Daniel believed in was able to deliver him just because he watched Daniel. And you know, Daniel ended up being thrown into the lion's den and God shut the lion's mouth. And we know how the story unfolds. But they watched Daniel to see what he would do. He did what they expected. And they watched him to see what they could do and accuse him before the king. Daniel is a good example of a Christian. He was being watched. He was being watched to see what he would do. And he was being watched that they might find something to use against him. And you're being watched. I'm being watched. If we have truly identified ourselves with Christ, if people know we're a Christian, if they know we go to church, if they know we are members of Faith Missionary Baptist Church of Traverse City, if they know that, just like they watch Christ, they're going to watch you. They're going to watch you. And they're going to watch you to see what you're going to do next and how you're going to react. And they're watching you with the ulterior motive of finding something against you that they might laugh at, that they might accuse you of before God. How are we doing in this regard? I'm working on a message. Pretty common subject. I'm sure you've heard messages preached on it before. But the title of the message that I've had in my mind is A Few Good Men. A Few Good Men. The Marines are looking for a few good men, they used to say. I think we'll find in Scripture that God is looking for a few good men. God is looking for men and women. He's looking for young people to stand and deliver for Him. He's looking for those that can stand up to the test of being watched. He's looking for those who could stand up to the test of people watching to see what they're going to do next. He's looking for those who won't be able to have anything found in them that can be used against them. He's looking for a few good men. Daniel was one of those men. Amen. They were watching Daniel to see what he was going to do, that they might have something to hold against him. Well, in the same book of Daniel, we find three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the names given to them by their captives. And what did they do to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They watched Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They watched them to see what they were going to do, that they might have something to charge them with. When I preach this message one day in the future, I think what I'm going to do is an illustration. I'm going to get in cahoots with somebody. And I'm going to have them stand up during the course of the services. I'm going to have them stand up with everybody else standing up. I'm going to prearrange with this character. When I tell everybody to sit down, don't sit down. Because I want you to illustrate for the people what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. What was so terrible that they did? When everybody went down, when everybody bowed, all Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was keep standing. They refused to bend. They refused to bow. God wouldn't let them burn. God's looking for a few good men. God's looking for a few good women like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who will stand.
Amen.
Men like Daniel, who won't quit. Men like Elijah, Amen. Who will not break. Men like Paul, who will not turn around, but will finish his course and keep the faith. Men like the Apostle John, who would not be silenced. That is so significant to me when I read the book of Revelation. I, John, was in the Isle of Patmos. Why was he there? For the testimony. For the Word of God. He would not be silenced. Because John knew he was being watched. John knew he was being watched with an ulterior motive. John knew he was being watched that they might find something to charge him with. And he found himself on the Isle of Patmos because they found something. That's really all there is to being a Christian. I don't want to oversimplify it or sound disrespectful. But being a Christian means you identify yourself with Christ. You stay aware of the fact that you're being watched. You don't give the enemy anything to use against you or against the name of Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, you stand. That's what made Daniel the man that Daniel was. That's what made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the men that they were. That's what made Elijah the man he was. That's what made Paul. That's what made John. That's what made all the great heroes of the Bible, men and women alike, the heroes that they were. Because when they were being watched, and something was found that they could be charged with, and they were charged with, they stood for the Lord. Every single day, you go out into the world and you represent Faith Missionary Baptist Church. That label is upon you. Jesus' name is upon you. Are you serious about that? Do people see Jesus Christ in you? If you're the only representation that someone around you has of Faith Missionary Baptist Church, what kind of representation are you? See, I believe, I think it's Ephesians chapter 4, talks about our high calling, walk worthy of your vocation. I believe being a member of one of the Lord's churches is a high calling. It's a great privilege that God gives to some, to a few. And a Christian is one that's being watched. A Christian is one that they're trying to see what they're going to do next. A Christian is somebody that they're watching to find something to hold against you. And that's true of every one of us here who name the name of Christ. That's true of everybody here who names the name of one of the Lord's churches. We're being watched. We're living in the day and time, sadly, where there's not much preaching anymore on practical Christianity. It's unpopular. And because it's unpopular, preachers don't preach on practical Christian living anymore. Christians don't want to hear there's a certain way you're supposed to live. There's a certain way you're supposed to dress. There's a certain way you're supposed to speak. There's a certain way you to represent Jesus Christ. Christians don't want to hear that. But that's what a Christian is supposed to be all about. We ought to want to hear those things. We ought to want to be challenged. We ought to want to be charged by our pastors and by the preachers of God to take the name of Christ boldly and to identify with Christ, knowing we're being watched, not giving them anything to find against us, not giving them anything to accuse us of. We need a revival in the preaching of practical Christianity. How we're supposed to live in this fishbowl that is called Christianity. Because here's the complicating factor. Social media. People aren't being faithful to the Lord. People aren't living good Christian lives. They're not holding the name of Jesus high. They're not aware or care of the fact that they're being watched. They don't care that they're looking for something to catch us doing. They don't care. They don't care at all to give people something to charge us with. And so they live like they want to, and they put it all out there on social media. Bold, brazen, unashamed of living ungodly lives. The world's seeing all that. The world is saying just what they said to Christ. And you're a Christian? And you're doing that? You're a Christian and you're living like that? You're a Christian and you're going there? We need a revival, not only in the preaching of these things, but we need a revival amongst church members to take serious the name of Jesus Christ. To many people, Christianity is going to church on Sunday and then not thinking about it for another week until the next Sunday rolls around. That's religion. That's not Christianity. Christianity is the taking of the name of Jesus Christ every single day you're alive. Christianity is about knowing you're being watched every single day, everywhere you go, everything you say. Christianity is taking the name of Jesus, know you're being watched, and Christianity is knowing they're looking to catch you in something. And by the grace of God, don't let them catch you doing something that shames the name of Jesus Christ. Don't let them catch you doing something that would bring shame upon the Lord's church where you're a member of. Last night, I would say the focus was upon the lost, the need of being saved. And if you're here and you're lost, you still need to be saved. You still need Jesus Christ. I pray that this would be the night you'd see Christ high and lifted up on the cross of Calvary, dying for your sins. But the focus tonight is our being the men and the women, the young people that God has called us to be in the name of Christ. He's calling us tonight to be aware of our responsibility. He's calling us to take evaluation. Have I caused any shame to come to Jesus Christ in His name? Have I caused any shame to come to the church where I'm a member of? Paul said to the Corinthians in relationship to things that were going on within the membership, these things ought not to be. These things ought not to be. We need to examine ourselves tonight as church members and ask ourselves, is there anything in our day-to-day life that ought not to be as members of the body of Christ where He has placed us? I remember doing a lot of remembering these days. You haven't picked up on that. You haven't been listening. I remember so much and think about so much lately. I remember in years gone by, people were called to rededicate their life for Christ. Somewhere along the line, we got to thinking, well, that's not good. So we won't talk about that anymore. We won't call people to rededicate their lives. And I know there was abuses, and I know a lot of that may have been done in the flesh. But I believe it with all my heart that every once in a while we need to rededicate ourselves to Christ. Rededicate ourselves to the taking in the name of Jesus Christ. Rededicate ourselves to the taking of the name of the church where He has placed us and given us the privilege to be a member of. Rededicating ourselves to remembering we're being watched. They're watching to see what we're going to do, and they're watching to find something to hold against us. We need to rededicate ourselves and recharge ourselves to taking the name of Jesus Christ and being men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Elijah, and Paul, and John, and the others that can be found in Scripture. Where do you stand tonight in relationship to being a Christian? Where do you stand tonight in relationship to being Christ-like? Where do you stand tonight in regards to the fact that you're being watched? Where do you stand in regards to the fact that they're looking to see what you're going to do? The world wants to know what you're going to do next. Not because they really care, but because they want to do you harm. And they want to discredit the name of Jesus. And they want to discredit our Christianity. They're watching to see what we're going to do next, that they might charge, hold it against us. I hope you'll take more serious tonight the fact that they watched Christ to see what He was going to do, that they might have something to charge Him with. I hope you'll be recharged with the fact that if they did that to Christ, they're going to do that to you. They're going to do that to me. I hope you'll recharge your batteries and take more serious that you're being watched. Maybe even today, you were being watched and you said something or you did something that brought shame to the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe last week, you said something without any consideration of the fact that you're being watched. You said something or you did something that may have brought a reproach upon the church where the Lord has placed you. All you can do in those cases is repent. Get right. Ask God to forgive you. But there's the difference between a religious person and a true Christian. They watched Jesus to see what He was going to do, that they might have something to charge him with. A real Christian is somebody they watch. You, me. True Christian is somebody they watch to see what we're going to do next, that they might have something to charge against us. May God rededicate us, recharge us to taking the name of Jesus Christ and being one of those few men that the Lord's looking for, being one of those few women that the Lord is looking for. May God help us to really ask ourselves, how do we do in our representation of Jesus Christ? Thank you, brother. Appreciate your attention and your giving us the opportunity to bring the Word of God. And I take this serious. I pray everybody else will also. Thank you.
Amen. Let's stand.